But tonight it is Youth Speaks Night, and Brother Harrison is up. So without further ado, Brother Harrison, if you'd like to come and give a word of the Lord to the congregation tonight. Let's all say, God bless Brother Harrison. God bless Brother Harrison.
Familiar. Big book. So today I'm going to be doing something like extremely short. I had AI speak it out for me to hear what it sounds like. It's 2 minutes. I won't try speed running it like I did for one of those. So we'll see how a lot is. But today, my goal is just to encourage. If you would please turn to Psalms 34, verse 1 through 3. I'm assuming you're there. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. You may be seated. The world is tough, and it often feels like we should be ashamed of our Christianity, like we should hide it from others, like we should remain in our little shell and just keep it all to ourselves. But it's not what it's meant to be. It's more than okay to be grateful. It's more than okay to be happy. It's more than okay to be excited. It's more than okay to be vocal about your faith and your walk with God. It's okay to feel uneasy and nervous. It's okay to feel out of place. It's okay to feel like, why am I doing this? But it's a good thing. Even the Apostle Paul, that dude, he's a legend. I listened to, how many did you make, Dad, about Paul? We're going to sum it up to 180. But all of those, and hearing it, he did a lot of remarkable things through God, obviously. But he was nervous. And God had to comfort him, saying, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have many people in the city. Be proud of your faith. If someone doesn't want to hear it, okay, it was worth trying. But I encourage you to tell your friends, your family, and even strangers, not someone in the bathroom, but anywhere else, it is a good idea to say that. I know, yeah, for me, it's uncomfortable, it's nervous, but when you start talking, once you start showing how grateful you are for God, camera eye contact, but when you start talking about it, you get caught up in how grateful you are, how we are saved, because we have the truth. Not everyone has the truth. It's like David, right? He went out in the streets. Did he get naked? I hope not. But he started dancing out there. He made a fool of himself. But he wasn't afraid. He wasn't ashamed of what other people thought, because he was showing how grateful he was to God. He was showing how much he loved him. The woman at the well, Jesus walks up to a woman, a Samaritan woman, I said it right, and tells her everything. What does she do immediately after that? She runs around the city telling everyone about it. And that got people interested, and they went and followed him, and that was a lot of people. When we talk so openly about our faith, when we are so transparent, when we are so unashamed in something that feels like we should be ashamed, it draws people near. It makes them be like, what is this joy? What is this? Pride comes before the fall, but yeah, pride. What is this? And they get interested in it. And it doesn't only just help others, but it increases our faith. So in conclusion, I told you it would be short. I encourage you to tell others about your faith and what God has done for you. Even if they're Christian, even if they've known you your entire life, it's still worth it. Don't be afraid of how people will react. Be like David. Be like the woman at the well. Be bold. Danke.
Awesome. Be bold. It is amazing that if you do put that mindset in and you start your day by asking God to give you an opportunity, you will start seeing opportunities in front of you every day. And not awkward opportunities where you are trying to talk to someone in a restroom or shouting across some aisle somewhere, but just in your everyday life, someone you're talking with or someone you come across where there's an opportunity to tell them about the Lord and let them know what that joy is that's inside you. Amen? Thank you, Brother Harrison. So I might have a little bit more than 2 minutes, but hopefully not more than 15, because I think that's where my brain is going to end tonight. But I'd like to speak to you tonight on a couple things, but in general, just ask you a couple questions to start off with, right? And if we think about life in general, life is pretty much a maze, right? It's not always straightforward, at least my perspective. I don't always know what tomorrow brings. I don't know everything that's going to happen. But have you ever felt sometimes that you've been at a crossroad in your life, a decision to make, maybe not sure which way to turn, or wonder even what path you're actually on? I wonder that a lot of times, like, am I even on a path? I don't know. Or what's happening? But today I just wanted to explore a little bit about the fact that we can trust God's vision for our lives. And if we do that, how can that change the way we live? And if we do truly believe that, are we willing to take the next step that he's asking us to, even if we don't understand where the next step after that leads? Amen? So if you want, I'm going to read from a scripture in Hebrews 12. Starting with the first verse, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You may be seated if you would like. So I'd like to actually begin this message at the end. Sounds backwards, but that's the purpose. Because if you think about it, every great plan starts with what in mind? The goals, yes, with the end in mind. Any of you do puzzles, jigsaw puzzles? Anyone ever do one without the box, without the picture? Yeah. I haven't either. I think that would be torturesome. But those of you that have, when you do one that has the box and you pull that picture out and you know where we're going to, I'm assuming it's much easier. That you can pick up a piece and sometimes you can look at the colors and you can look at the picture on top of the box and see just about where that should go and start associating stuff. If I ever had to do a puzzle with no picture, nothing, like one of those blank ones, it's just completely blank, I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm just going to brute force everything. It's going to be one piece and just try every single piece, right? And the next one, just try it, right? Because other than that, I don't know what else to do. But in Revelations 22:13, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so our journey with God can work the same way. He's not only the beginning for us, but he's also understanding and knowing what the end is because he's there. And Revelations 22:13 reminds us of this truth, that God sees the entire picture. that he not only has set us on our path, but he's also waiting at our finish line too. And that means he's actually never surprised by any detours or obstacles or anything that goes along the way. He's been there. He's done that. He knows the path. So tonight I'm going to explore three things. One is that God's vision is intentional and perfect. Two is that we can trust him, and that in trusting him it requires to understand his vision and faith. And the third one is that he is, as our scripture text said, the author and finisher of that faith. Amen? Okay. So last time I spoke, we did a mini study on the word bara. Everyone remember bara? Sweet. Let's fly through this part. Right? So we spent some time in Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And created here is translated from the word bara, which is more of a statement here of a fact, that it's a window into the mind of the creator who created everything, that when he created it with a vision and with a purpose, and as we have mentioned before, with a design. And so we talked about the universe, created it with purpose and design. And we had read in Jeremiah 29:11, where it reminds us by saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And so I bring this back just to encourage you that God's plan for your life is intentional and good. So even when you can't see the full picture, he does, and he has good intent for you. Anyone ever try to draw a straight line on a piece of paper? Yeah. Anyone ever, when they go to do it, it's not quite straight? Yeah. There is a trick. Does anyone know what the trick is? Yeah, use a ruler or something of that nature. Cut to the chase, yeah. The trick is you put your hand down on the paper, but you put it down where you want to end. And so you have your pencil, whatever, you place it naturally where you want to end. Then you pick up the pencil and just move your wrist over to where you want to start and then draw your line. And the theory behind that, and it works, is that if your hand's in a natural position, your muscles will very easily and naturally return back to that original position. Versus if you start here and you need to go there, that's very unnatural for you to turn that way. So you're stressing all your muscles. Versus if you start at the end and then move your wrist to where you need to start, it's a natural progression back. So it's a nice, smooth, straight line. Anyone believe me? No? You can try it. I didn't bring paper and pen for everyone to sit there and draw lines for all, but if you want to, like, there on your pew, kind of, like, visualize it for a while, I'll understand. But so here's the good news, is God doesn't just set the end point, but he also walks you along the way. So he's sitting there at the end. He knows it. And so even though you might be at the beginning, his hand's there to help you, and he knows how to guide you straight there. Amen? That he sees what he's creating in you. So he's not just looking at the current state for you. He knows your purpose and where you're going and what you're eventually going to be, in that layer by layer, he's going to build you up. Much like an artist, I'm assuming, because I'm not a great artist, the best way I draw is with no plan. But typically when an artist puts something out that they're going to sketch, they know what they're going for. Or someone who's chipping away at the block, the guys that make the bears out of the big stumps. Like, they see the bear there already, and they're just taking away the parts that aren't the bear. Right, little bit by little bit. They have that vision and they're able to move towards it. And so God knows the plan and he's able to work with you on it. But you don't see the end sometimes. So what happens when your path forward isn't that clear? when that masterpiece that God's creating might seem messy or incomplete. And that's where we need to look towards the Lord. And that's where we need to be able to trust him in the process. Amen? So I'm not a very trusting person. Based on experience and stuff, I've learned to not always just trust whatever comes my way. I'm sure you've had similar experiences. I'm sure you've had people try to sell you something that you didn't need. Sometimes you've been suckered and bought it and found out that it wasn't what you wanted or needed, right? But so for me, trust needs to be earned. Trust needs to be validated. Amen? So if we're not seeing the whole picture, we need to trust in God's process. Sometimes that's not as easy for me to just take and say, yeah, okay, I get it. I'm good, right? I want some validation. Anyone else think or feel that way? I think it's okay to admit that. But thankfully, we have scripture that gives you some instructions and gives you things to think or ways to think to instill that trust so that you don't blindly trust, but you're already given steps. You've been already given some things to look at to say, hey, this is how you know you can trust me. This is how you know I'm moving. This is how you know if this is the path or not. Just don't jump out because, hey, right? You have some stuff to go against. So one of them comes from Luke 14, verse 28, where it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are unable to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Now, how is that trust? Because Jesus is teaching the importance of when you have a vision to sit down and count the cost. He's not asking you just to go on blind faith and just, hey, go for it. It's like, no, no. There's a need to sit down and think it through and understand what that cost might be. And that as you see that, that builder, when he counts that cost, when he starts to put down each brick, he already has a vision. He already knows roughly what that cost is. And anyone who builds know that cost can increase. I don't think it ever decreases, right? But he has a plan. And so when he puts down that first brick, he already knows what he's going for. He's not just kind of chucking them on the floor saying, I hope this works out, right? He's taken the cost and now he's implementing step by step to get to the end. I'm looking for victims. We don't do victims. Has anyone seen the different exercises where you lead someone from point A to point B and you blindfold them first? And so I'll just tell you about it. Two people want to do it? Sure. Come on down. Okay, so we're going to do this like 4 or 5 times. Who wants to have their eyes closed? Sweet. So Lex, your job is to stand here. You're going to close your eyes. Don't do it yet. And you're going to walk from there to here. But you don't want to trip on anything. Okay? So with your eyes open, go ahead. Pretty easy, right? Okay, come back. Now close your eyes while you're over there. So now you need to do the same thing, but the only thing you can do is we have one helper. Sydney's going to give you words. All she can do is talk to you. That's it. Go for it. Oh, you hit it. He's still turning. Sydney, you're going to help him. Stop, stop, stop. Okay. Not too successful. Right? Okay. So now we're going to do it again. Close your eyes. I promise we won't let you get hurt too much. Now you can help him go from there. There, no words, but now you can use guidance by holding his hand. Okay, good job. Okay, let's do it again. This time you can hold him by the hand and you can speak to him. We're getting technology advanced here. There you go. Nice and easy. Okay. So thank you very much. That was easy, right? Not too bad. You can sit down. Much easier to have them do it than for me to try to explain it to you. What did that show us? Yeah, it's easier to get there. One, if you just can see the full thing, pretty good. But if you can't, it's easier if you have someone guiding you. And it's easier if they can guide you in multiple ways, right? And so if I had asked, or if I had Lexington open his eyes and Sydney talk and guide him, would have been golden, because he would be able to see, plus he had guidance of someone else looking, watching out, and helping him, right? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:7 reminds us that we live by faith and not by sight. And so sometimes when we're walking down our path, we might not see. We might be blinded. Our eyes might be closed or blindfolded or something of that nature. Sometimes you might have a clear vision, but typically you might see one step and that's it. But the key in that example is that when you can trust in God, when you have faith in God, when you're reading your Bible, when you have a relationship with God, when you're in prayer every day with God, you're building that trust and that relationship to where God is speaking to you and guiding you. So that wherever you're going in your life, you're not just blindly stumbling onto stuff. He's there saying, no, not that way. Come this way a little bit. Oh, don't step into that. Don't poke out your eye on the big wooden thing, right? He's helping guide you to where you need to, because you have put in that effort to have that relationship and have that communication to where he can help you. Amen? I'll remind you of Nehemiah. Everyone remember Nehemiah? He did some cool stuff. Remember, he was building the wall? Nehemiah 2:12 says that God of heaven will give us success. And this is when he was talking about, we'll go back. So he knew that they needed to build a wall. He wanted to bring his people back together. That was the vision. He had to put some stuff into place to make it happen, right? He gathered the people. He went to the king, asked for support, got the lumber, got the trees, brought them all, put the people to work, put a tool in one hand, put a sword in the other hand to protect themselves, right? All of this required some planning. He didn't just show up one day and say, hey, let's build a wall. There was a vision, and he had to take each step forward with it. And all along the way, he's doing things according to the way God had led him to do. Amen? So let's bring this back to our own lives. So maybe you're standing at the base of some mountain, not sure how to climb it. Maybe you're in the middle of some sort of project, or there's a calling that's been eating at you and you're not sure where to go. Well, the truth is that God's not asking you to figure out the whole journey. He's asking you to see where he's wanting to take you, and then he's asking you to take the next step that he's telling you to take, right? He knows the start to the finish. He also knows that you don't know the start to the finish, but he's there to help guide you. One of my favorite quotes says, the most important step is the next step. Yes, I've heard the first step one. I like the one that says the next step. Because wherever you are, it's the next thing you need to do. Right? So when you begin, it is the first step. But if you're somewhere in the middle, it's about the next step. And so this quote tells you a couple things. It tells you, you know what? The next step is the most critical because it's going to directly influence your momentum, a future outcome. Where are you going? What's your next step? What direction are you going? And it also emphasizes action over hesitation. Does anyone ever hesitate a lot? Anyone have what they call analysis paralysis? Yeah. For me to get good stuff done at work, I like to partner with someone who's reckless and stupid and just does stuff. Because that's how we get started. Because otherwise, I'll sit there, I'll try to plan everything out and never start anything. So I sort of need that person that just starts and I, you know, go along the way and try to like plan it out and make sure it doesn't go too far off the rails. But the third thing that tells us is there's mindfulness, right? And that's about concentrating on the next part to help you not have anxiety of trying to understand what you can't see between here and there, right? Because that's where a lot of anxiety or worry comes. When you look at that goal out there that you need to get to, is there's a whole lot of unknown. And if you focus there, you're never getting to that next step. Amen? So focus on the promises of God and his faithfulness, and focus on the place that you're going by taking that next step. And so while taking the next step of faith can be feel daunting to you, we have examples of someone who understood where they were going and just kept working step by step to get there. Any guess of who that is? The example we always want to look to is Jesus. So he is God. He is the author and finisher of faith. But when he came down to be our Savior, he had an end game. And he took step by step to get there. Right? He followed that plan step by step. In the latter parts, we've had the studies where he's on the cross and we kind of project and think that he's mentally going through that checklist of what he has to fulfill, the prophecies have to fulfill. And he says, oh, I need to ask for something to drink. So he does. I thirst. And they give him the vinegar. He was taking every step. He was showing us that, you know what? Not everything's going to be hunky-dory, but he's always going to progress because he was there thinking about the end result. Right? The joy he was thinking about was the joy that he was providing salvation to all of us. Amen? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That phrase says, for the joy set before him. And this is out of the NIV in case you're following along in KJV. But the joy set before him. He endured all that pain because his eyes were fixed on the result, on our redemption. He was focused on what was going to happen and where he was going. Anyone been on a road trip, a very long road trip with kids? My kids are great. We take lots of road trips. Once in a while, the kids get restless. And sometimes the cars start making funny noises. And that's like my fear. Out in the middle of nowhere and the car makes a new noise, it's not good. And sometimes that highway can seem endless. And you can get discouraged. And be like, oh. But if you just start thinking about your destination, where are you going? A warm home, maybe meeting some family, spend some time, a vacation to get away from it all. You can make it through that ride. In fact, the ride can kind of be joyful, right? I love traveling away from home, getting away from home, all that responsibility to just go and relax and do something fun. It's awesome. And then I love coming home because I just want my own bed. I want my familiar spaces. I want to be able to do what I want to do. I like it both ways, right? But suddenly, when you think beyond your current situation, you think about where you're going and what's there waiting for you, it can make that way there so much easier. Amen? A few more things, then I think I'm finished. But I'm currently teaching Brooklyn to drive a little bit. And we had a crucial lesson that I think I told her many times before. And it was, you know, it's basically say, hey, you want to look where you're going, right? Pretty sound advice, if I do say so myself. But I don't think it really meant much to Brooklyn until at some other point we're talking about driving. And we're talking about turn, like a turn and how it's kind of awkward sometimes as you're trying to get to. And my wife said something like, yeah, you just need to look to where you're turning to. Well, it clicked because the next time we're driving, Brooklyn took a turn that was a little, and she just expertly did it perfectly. And then she says, yeah, you know what I did? I looked where I was going. It worked, right? If you're going to make a turn, you turn better if you look where you're going versus looking down where the car is or, you know, worrying about this or worrying about that, right? If you want to drive straight down a road, you need to look down the road to stay straight, right? Has anyone ever driven like this and done one of these things? And when you come back, you need to do one of these things, right? That's because you end up turning where you're looking, right? And the same can be in our life, right? Where we're looking is where we end up going. So if you're not looking towards what God has in store for you, if you're not looking to what God has shown you, you're probably not progressing there, right? Use the car example again. If you're driving, as a driver, I get to see so much more than my passengers usually because I'm looking, right? You're looking down the road. You get to see the mountain. You see the cool sunset. You see the weird thing that's happening over here with the car, right? And so many times you're driving down the road, you're talking to your passengers, hey, look at that. You see that? Why do your passengers usually not see it? This is why, right? Because they're occupied. They're doing something else. Gone are the days of just sitting there daydreaming out the window, right? But when you have that view out the window, you're seeing things. You know where you're going. And you're also seeing the things that are kind of coming up that might disrupt you or might be a danger. Amen? So, yes, there's a balance, right? You can't over-focus on something, right? If you're driving and there's a car there and you focus on it like this, you know what happens, right? But you keep your view out, and you're looking at that next part, that next step, so to speak, paying attention. You have that view. Amen? And so Philippians 2:8 tells us, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, Jesus, by becoming obedient to death, even death to a cross. You know, Jesus never wavered because he knew his goal. He knew the beginning and the end. And he was just taking the steps to get there. The truth is, what allows us to take our next step with confidence is the Bible, is the truth that Jesus has shared with us. Amen? Philippians 1:6 reminds us that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He began a work in you. He's not stopping. He's not just giving up. He's not just walking away. Because there was a little bump, he doesn't say, oh, peace, right? Because you might have gone a little sideways or done a little something, he hasn't written you off. It says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion. So if you do feel that you've lost your way, well, fix your eyes back on him. He's already walked the road that's before you, and he already knows what it feels like to be weary or to face a challenge or to carry burdens. But he also knows what it means to overcome. because he's overcome and you can too. Amen? So what does this mean as I wrap it up? Isaiah 40, 31 gives us a promise for those moments when we feel too weary to take the next step. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Amen? If you read this verse, you can notice there's a progression in the verse. That sometime God enables us to soar above all of our challenges. Other times he gives you the endurance to run. And sometimes when all we can do is put one foot in front of the other, well, he gives us the strength that we need just to walk. And so wherever you find yourself today, whether you're soaring, you're running, you're walking, God's with you. He's guiding you towards that finish line. Amen? So if we go back to the illustration of a painter just painting on his painting, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. He had a plan in mind. He had a purpose as he made those stars, as he did things. When he created you, he already saw what you were going to become and how he wanted to bless you. And so your life is a masterpiece in progress. And the brushstrokes that you might think are messy right now are done by the artist for a purpose. And his hand is very steady. It's not just whipping stuff around. It's purposeful. He's making each line on purpose. And all that he does, or all that he asks of you, is for you to trust him, to focus on him and take the next step forward. Amen? So what's your next step? It might be something small. It might be something big. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's just dedicating yourself back into prayer every day consistently. Maybe it's reaching out to someone. Maybe it's fixing a problem. Maybe it's just asking him what the next step is. But I'd like to bring you back to 1 Philippians 1:6, where it said, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion. And I'd like you to take that back with you to understand that whatever or wherever you are in life, things are great, things are not great, wherever it is, God's never finished. That he's going to continue to work with you. Amen? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and he's the finisher. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confessions of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So I said I wanted to start this at the end. And so we are at the end again. Just remind you and help you keep in mind that the Alpha and Omega, well, maybe he's the Omega and the Alpha. So when you're thinking of where you are, you can think that, you know what? He's at the end waiting. And he knows the path, and he's there to help you along the way. Amen? And that's what I had tonight. If you'd like to stand, I'll ask my brother Tom if he'd like to pray a prayer of dismissal.